From Gimlet Media, I'm Alex Blumberg. You're listening to Startup, the podcast about what it's really like to start a business. The last couple of episodes, as you know, have been about Gimlet Media, the company I started with my co-founder, Matt Lieber. But that was just the appetizer for the season. And now we have arrived at the main course. A quick warning, this episode, like many of the others in the series, does include some swearing. For the greater part of a year, my co-host, Lisa Chow, has been reporting a story that will unfold over the rest of the season. A fascinating story. And Lisa is here in the studio with me now. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Alex.
How's it going?
It's going
that
okay.
That question always throws you off. You're so bad at in-studio banter.
Oh my God. I don't know how I'm doing. I never know how I'm doing.
So tell us what you've been working on.
Okay. Yes. So I should just say up front, we are taking a hard right turn into a very different kind of story for the next several episodes. The guy we're following isn't a first-time entrepreneur like you, Alex. This is a story about someone's second act. And this founder, you might not know his name, but you have probably heard of his company.
His first company.
Yes, his first company. He built one of the most iconic and well-known brands in his industry. And at its height, the company employed 10,000 people around the world and was worth nearly $1 billion.
He created an industry that didn't exist.
This is an incredibly intelligent person. This is someone who's incredibly passionate about what they're doing. You get sucked up in it. Like, they clearly believe in what they're selling, and I now believe in it too.
He's a master manipulator. I think manipulating is taken as a negative word, but a manipulator is a Jedi. You're a Jedi if you can manipulate people. It's like, the sky is red. Yes, the sky is red.
There is a code of ethics, a standard within the workplace, and those lines were crossed. The kind of easy, obvious answer is you don't sleep with your staff.
He likes women. I mean, he's a womanizer, but he doesn't hide that fact, you know? He loves women. He's very much affected by them.
He's just in his world where he's just go. There's no thought of like, what are they thinking of me or this or that. He's just like unfiltered out the faucet.
And then you walk down the halls with him and the workers would cheer. I mean, I just never seen anything like it.
Do I want to stand by him and believe in him? He certainly stood up for me when I needed him. And I think that he is a good man. And I think he is misunderstood. So I want that to come through loud and clear.
The entrepreneur we're focusing on for the rest of this season is the highly controversial founder and ex-CEO of American Apparel, Dove Charney.
Dove Charney has built American Apparel into a phenomenon in the clothing business by being different.
Dove first gained attention by revolutionizing one of the blandest and most basic of products, the plain cotton t-shirt. Back in the 90s, when Dove was just starting out, most t-shirts in the market were coarse and boxy. Dove created a softer, more fitted, logo-free t-shirt. And pretty soon, everyone was copying him. But while other manufacturers were moving their production overseas, Dove's clothes were made in America, right in downtown Los Angeles.
Hop, skip, and step of the way, he was just reveling in the thrumming, throwback business of making stuff in America.
The company became a cultural symbol. American Apparel made clothes that were sexy and affordable, and it paid its garment workers well above the industry average. Dove started with just one retail store in 2003. By 2009, he had hundreds in cities around the world.
Growth has been explosive. American Apparel is a fashion sensation.
At the same time, Dove was getting attention for other stuff, worse stuff. That made the news as well.
In the past couple of years, Charney has faced 3 sexual harassment suits.
Dove denied the allegations. None of the claims were ever proven in court, and the business continued to grow. But then, in 2014, American Apparel's board fired Dove and installed a new CEO. The company Dove had spent decades building was no longer his. What made it worse, American Apparel, under new management, filed for bankruptcy. The shares dropped to 0, destroying Dove financially. That's the situation that Dove was in when I first met him.
You know, I built a massive company in town. Everybody was proud of it. We were doing well. People wanted to sell me. We had money. We were able to raise money when we needed it. It was fine. Because the company was worth a fortune, and is a company that I think was worth over $1 billion when it was taken from me. Now I'm running around in a little Hyundai with you, and we're doing a podcast on startups? Give me a fucking break. I had already been on top of the mountain, you know? I didn't have a care in the world about money, personally. They, like, locked me out of my own house and laughed at me.
So now, Dove's starting over again. He's launching a new business, one that looks a lot like his old business. Dove plans to manufacture t-shirts and clothing basics in Los Angeles, just like he did with American Apparel.
For the past many months, we have been following Dove as he sets out to build his new business, to overcome the past and make a comeback. Lisa, you made your first trip to visit Dove back in March. Why don't you take it from here?
Before we get to Dove, there's a thing you should know about me. I hate shopping. For 6 years, I lived across the street from an American Apparel in Brooklyn. I remember going in twice. I bought white socks and black leggings. I've been a business reporter for a long time, but the fashion industry has never been my focus. So when we started talking about doing a story on Dove Charney, I called up some friends to get their perspective. They told me, be careful. There's been a lot of weird stuff reported about him. But I wasn't worried. If anything, I was intrigued. Were the stories true? What is it like to start over after such a dramatic fall? Who is this guy anyway?
You want to tell me how you're doing?
Doing good. Mondays are always nuts.
I met Dove at his home in Los Angeles. He's a youthful 47, quick and animated. His hair is uncombed, and he's a little disheveled in sneakers and a white t-shirt. We're heading out for the day. I'm in the passenger seat, Dove's driving. My producer, Caitlin, is sitting in the back seat.
You okay back there?
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm not exactly sure where we're going. We're on a vague mission to track down some suppliers for Dove's business. He's just starting out, developing a new line of t-shirts. As I'll come to learn, Dove doesn't stick to a schedule. So the only way to interact with him is to be along for the ride.
So we have choices. I don't really decide where I'm going until we're like on the freeway. There's different exits for different things. Depends how I feel. Because if I had the ability to be at five places at the same time this morning, I would.
Today's first stop, FedEx.
Do you see a FedEx? Oh, is that Siri? Oh shit, this one doesn't have Siri. Where's Siri? Siri took a break. Siri's fed up. Siri doesn't want to be my friend.
Dove's going to FedEx to send off some legal documents. After Dove was fired from American Apparel, he made several attempts to take back the company. He lost that fight in January of this year, but he's still embroiled in legal battles with some of the owners of American Apparel. And because he's low on cash, he's representing himself. Inside, Dove fills out the mailing label. And as we're standing there in line, I notice this guy lingering around, watching Dove. Finally, he walks right up to him and says, "We desperately need you back."
We desperately need you back, by the way.
Where?
I've been a wholesale customer for 15 years.
Yeah, nice to meet you. My name's Dove.
Dove Ara.
Nice to meet you. You're screen printing?
Ara's dressed in joggers and a tight-fitting t-shirt. He's never met Dove before, but he recognized him. Part of American Apparel's business is selling blank t-shirts in bulk to screen printers. Ara is one of these screen printers. He's been buying t-shirts from American Apparel for over a decade. The first time Ara saw an American Apparel t-shirt, he was blown away by how different it felt, soft and lightweight. Then along came the Tri-Blend, a t-shirt made from cotton, polyester, and rayon. Ara loved it.
I mean, the last time the wheel was reinvented was when you guys did the Tri-Blend. The last big revolution was the Tri-Blend. I mean, am I right or wrong about that? I mean,
you're right. That was huge. That's a big business. That's one truckload a week.
I mean, it was huge.
What are you doing?
Dove and Ara go back and forth, spouting off style names and thread counts, like they're talking about baseball stats or vintage cars. Aretel stuff he's still buying from American Apparel. But lately, he hasn't been impressed with the brand.
It feels like a mom-and-pop operation. It's horrible. Customer service is bad. They're getting their counts wrong all the time. Inventory is a mess. Back orders galore.
What are you buying from American Apparel right now?
I mean, it's dwindling because there's been nothing new for 3-4 years now. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pathetic, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I haven't been there since, well, 3-4 years I'm responsible, but 2 years I'm not. Check out this new tee.
And just like that, Dove jumps into sales mode. Dove pulls at the sleeve of the t-shirt he's wearing. He explains that it's part of his new line, a prototype of the next big thing in t-shirts. These days, everyone is making softer, lightweight shirts. But Dove is going back to the boxy, rugged look from the 90s. We all thumb the fabric. It's thick and sturdy. Dove holds the sleeve right up to Ara's face so he can see the stitching.
Nice, eh?
Yeah, it is.
This is like right off the press.
Nice.
Feel how smooth it is.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's tight, too. I knit it super tight.
It really is something I've never really felt before. It's like the ultra softer version of like the Gildan Fruit of the Loom guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Are you from Montreal?
I'm not. I was born in Dearborn, Michigan.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. So this one here.
Dove pulls another t-shirt from the gym bag he's carrying. He tosses it to Ara.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
This is going to look well.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
I know what the market wants right now.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, listen, I know your history, so I know it's going to be good.
You have a card? I'll send you a sample.
This run-in with Ara was almost hard to believe. We're at a random FedEx. And somehow, Dove runs into not just a potential customer, but his biggest fan.
I'm telling you right now, I'm totally, totally on board.
Dove leans in and shakes Ara's hand.
Come on, show me some strength. All right. I'm really touched. I won't let you down.
And I look forward to the stuff.
So,
okay.
Thanks. I appreciate the words of encouragement.
Of course.
Bye.
Ara leaves, and we move ahead in line. Dove bounces on his toes. He seems lighter, pleasantly surprised. It's such a coincidence that I can't help but ask the question.
Did you plant that guy?
I planted him here. I'm paying him. I had to pay him some money because of you. Okay.
What's your last name, sir?
Oh, Charney. Charney. That E doesn't look good.
N-E-Y, right?
Yeah.
Don?
No. Dove.
Dove.
Like a bird, but no E.
The guy behind the counter calculates the shipping cost. The total is $44 even. Dove swipes his credit card. As he hovers over the machine, his energy shifts from excited to anxious. Once his card goes through,
your ship tracking number, when you go to the website, you can track it.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
We head back to the car.
That was nerve-wracking.
Why was that nerve-wracking?
I thought my credit card was going to get declined on the podcast. It like took so long. I went into this. I've always been paranoid about that for years.
Paranoid about what?
Yeah, as an entrepreneur, you often run your credit cards tight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just no matter how much money you have, it happens. And I thought my credit card was going to get declined, and I was like mortified. But it didn't happen. It was like a false alarm.
I was actually kind of thinking the same thing.
You thought it was going to be a perfect moment for you.
No.
Coolio. Like you were going to capture this moment of anxiety and stress. We're south of the 10 freeway right now. This is where the excitement happens. This is the new frontier in LA creative, cool manufacturing maker movement. This is where things happen.
Today, Dove's working on his labels, the cloth tags that get sewn into your clothing. A label, it's a small detail on a t-shirt, but it's the kind of thing Dove will spend weeks perfecting. There are hundreds of ways to make a label, different fabrics, sizes, colors. Dozens of small businesses make these labels. They're sprinkled all over South Central Los Angeles. Dove's visiting some of them today. This is how he introduces himself.
My name's Dove. Remember me? Dove from American Apparel.
Dove built relationships with a lot of vendors in the early days of American Apparel, when the company was more of a startup. A lot of them still do business with American Apparel. These businesses are mostly immigrant-owned, family-run, and they each specialize in a different part of the t-shirt-making process. There are people who knit the fabrics, the dyers and washers, the sewers, the cutters, the label makers, a whole supply chain of people working behind the scenes to make a piece of clothing. It didn't matter who we were talking to, old, young, women, men, Hispanic, Korean, Persian, people were excited to see him.
Oh, hi, long time.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good.
They treat him like an old friend, give him hugs, joke around.
How you doing?
Let me see your ID.
You want one?
This is Bob, a label maker. When we meet him, he's standing in the doorway of a rundown shop, arms crossed. But when Bob talks to Dove, his tough guy exterior softens.
You ready to go, finally?
Yeah. What are you doing?
I'm here to help you anything you need. And I know
maybe you can
everything
help
you're going through.
Yeah.
Just don't forget us when you're at 100 million.
No, we're going to 500.
500.
I don't want to...
700.
I didn't want to use the B word.
Yeah, we'll get there. We're going to the B. We're going to the B.
A $1 billion company. That's Dove's goal. We meet vendors in faceless buildings, buzzing with machinery, and dusty offices piled high with fabric swatches. If I'd been driving around on my own, I probably would have looked right past these places. Even if I wanted to go inside, I don't know that I could. It's an industry that runs on relationships and trade secrets. Connections matter. These aren't the kinds of places you can just walk into and start doing business. Although, that's exactly what Dove did in 1997 when he showed up in Los Angeles. He was a 20-something guy with a t-shirt company, an outsider. But he was persistent and loud. He made enough noise that people had no choice but to pay attention to what he was doing. And visiting all these vendors, Dove is treading the same path he laid out when he started American Apparel. We visit another label maker. The shop is dim and cluttered. There are label-making machines and shelves stacked high with brown paper boxes. Dove starts running around, scoping the place out.
This is so cool. You have a lot of really cool equipment. Can I take a picture of some of it? It is so cool. Okay, I saw your sign.
The place is run by a guy named Frank. He's about 6'5", slow-moving, wearing a billowing black t-shirt. Frank towers over Dove, cautiously watching as Dove darts through the shop, snapping pictures. Finally, Frank cuts in.
I know you, yes.
Yeah, we did business before, no?
Yes, long time ago.
Yeah, like 10 years ago. Okay, do you have it? Can I see your labels?
What is your name?
Dove.
Oh, you forgot about me.
Yeah. Do you have the printing machine to print the labels here?
Yes.
Dove runs circles around Frank, rummaging through boxes and sizing up different labels. Frank lumbers after him. Frank knows Dove from way back, almost 20 years ago, when Dove was working out of a factory under the 10 freeway. At the time, American Apparel was just a growing wholesale business.
You don't remember me, no?
I remember you totally. It's been such a long time.
I did a lot of labor for you, a lot. Do you know how many labor I did for you?
I know, like a million.
Well, do you know you start with me at the beginning?
Oh, I remember. I think it was, were you here?
Yes, you started with me.
I don't even remember. I have amnesia.
I know.
This is what I needed. Okay, do you have like an acetate?
As Dove snoops through boxes of labels, Frank peppers him with questions.
The same
you are the same place or different place?
No, I got a new place.
You are by your own. You are not there anymore.
At American Apparel?
Uh-huh. No, you are not.
Finished.
That's okay.
Aras. Hang on.
Who's your partner?
I don't have one.
Well, by yourself? Good.
Yeah, I'm alone. I'm lonely. Okay. You're my partner. Let's do it.
Frank shows Dove the different labels they can make, and Dove hunches over a table to study them. Dove compares the options. There are narrow labels, square ones, labels made from a glossy, smooth fabric. Others are stiff and grainy.
This feels a little bit, I don't know, it's a little sharp, eh?
No, it's okay.
I think this would be better. What do you think?
I think this one better, yeah. No shine better. No shine.
And look also, the cast of white on the narrow one might be better.
Yes.
Before we leave, Frank says to Dove, promise me one thing.
The only thing I want from you,
yeah,
When you grow, don't forget about me.
I'm gonna forget it. I'm gonna put you out of my mind. Once I'm big, I won't even look at you.
Okay. Don't forget, like last time.
Hey, come here.
Okay.
Come on!
Okay. Good to see you again.
Dove claps Frank on the back, as if to say, it's only a joke. But if everything goes Dove's way, he won't need to remember Frank. He's not going to be hustling around these shops asking people to make his labels. He'll send other people to do that kind of work. Coming up, a visit to the center of the universe, at least according to Dove. That's after the break. Welcome back to Startup. Driving around with Dove, he's constantly observing things I don't notice. Where most people just see a t-shirt or a hoodie, Dove sees cuts and washes and thread counts. He spots details, the curve of an overpass, the paint color of a modest house, and sees how those elements combine to form an aesthetic. Case in point, this interaction. We're driving on a neighborhood street when Dove sees a young guy on a bike wearing a cream-colored sweatshirt.
That sweatshirt's on point. That is on point.
Dove slows the car and rolls down the window.
Good sweatshirt. Where do you get it? I love how it drops. Yeah, it looks great. I like the palladiums too, and the pants. You're doing and the bike looks great. You're like 100%. He did look good. I should have asked for his phone number so I could shoot him for a photo shoot or something. He looked fantastic.
Describe him.
He was handsome. He had good taste. I liked his bike. I liked his sweatshirt. I feel like we should make a U-turn. I feel like we're driving away from something good. Honestly.
We go chase him down.
We should. But I think he already thinks we're a bit nuts. I almost had him though. I just was too shy.
Being along for the ride, seeing Dove work, it's exciting. Like hanging out with a celebrity, a t-shirt celebrity. You never know what's gonna happen next. And everywhere we go, people wanna talk to him. Like this group of guys who flag us down as we're driving on a narrow street.
I know these guys. Hey!
The guys running this shop are young and eager. Dove used to be one of their customers. When Dove walks inside, the guys seem to stand a little taller, lining up side by side before a row of plastic mannequins.
You see that we have your mannequins?
Yeah, yeah.
When you're coming back?
I'm starting my own thing right now. Yeah.
You're gonna do it. I know you.
He knows. He saw me for.
I know him when he started on the stores. You know, maybe 12 years ago, or more than that, when he was starting on the business. You know, he was there on the business already. But see, he went too far. But he knows what happened. But he was having a good crew. He was having a good crew of people. Yeah,
I don't think we went too far, and we didn't make any mistakes. Just so you know, they stole the company.
I know.
They fucked us. They stole the business.
I remember Nicole.
They fired everybody.
I know.
And then they crashed it. Those are the facts. We had our money. We were rolling. We were growing. We were having a good run. They distorted it in the media.
I believe you.
I just want you to know because I haven't seen it. But that's my. That's. I think you'll see and understand that more and more. Because I had a chance.
You gotta work again.
I can rebuild it.
Yeah, you can make it.
Dove's feelings of loss and betrayal, they're fresh and raw. His version of what happened at American Apparel is quite different from the version the new owners of American Apparel tell. In Dove's version, which he brought forward in a lawsuit, he was fired illegally. It was a power grab designed to ruin him. In their version, he was fired for cause. We'll be getting to that later in the series. The day is ending. We're back in the car, and we stop at a red light. Dove points across the street to a vacant shop with dark windows, the former location of his very first American Apparel store in Los Angeles.
Right there.
Right.
Look.
Okay.
Can't you see?
Yes. Four Lease, the one with the Four Lease sign.
Yeah, the Four Lease sign. This was my first store. This is where the first lease ever signed was there, that one.
Where are we?
We're in the center of the world, don't you know? Do you have a problem? We're in Sunset and Alvarado. This is ground zero, man. Wake up. This is Sunset and Alvarado.
Sunset and Alvarado is a busy intersection. There's an old Italian restaurant, a car wash, a burrito stand. Straight ahead of us, an American Apparel billboard with a woman in a red dress. The light turns green.
Tell me what we just passed.
An American Apparel billboard.
Can you describe it for me?
What?
Like what we just passed, the billboard that we just passed.
It was an American Apparel billboard with a... It was an American Apparel billboard.
Just describe it for me. Like, what was...
Just a standard American Apparel billboard. I don't want to get into it.
Okay, so Dove won't get into it, but I'll tell you about the billboard. It's one of the billboards American Apparel designed after Dove was fired. The model is standard issue pretty. Thin, makeup, clearly striking a pose. Not at all like the quintessential American Apparel billboards Dove pioneered.
The billboards were my passion. And now they are what they are.
My producer, Caitlin, asks a question from the backseat.
What do you miss about making the billboards?
Why do we have to talk about the billboards? Why are we talking about the past? We gotta go forward. Mona, Mona, Grona with the billboards. I'll be making billboards again.
Have you envisioned kind of the, I guess, the ads for your new company?
No. I play it as it goes. I never had a plan. As long as it's authentic and feels, you know, slaps me in the face when I look at the picture. You get, boom, you got a half a second. You like it or you don't. And then you show it to a few people that you believe in, and that's it. It's not like a contrived thing. I hate contrived fashion advertising. It's so obvious.
What is contrived fashion advertising?
It's like when you have people looking away, when there's a, you know, when you can clearly tell that they're posing, it's the look away. Or they have the tilt head when a girl goes like that. Or you have the dead look. That's very big.
What's a dead look?
When the girl looks dead and she's lying in the grass in a $2,000 dress. And she's thinking she's 40, but she's 14. That's the dead look. I hate the dead look. I like when my model looks into the camera and takes control, like, it, boom. You know? There's a contact between the photographer and the subject. It's authentic, true, and it connects. It connects the client to the experience. That's my signature. I don't know if we should be giving away all these trade secrets.
Dove doesn't want to talk about the past, but when the past is all around you, it's hard not to talk about it. There are the chance meetings at FedEx, the five or six billboards we pass. More than once, in the factories we visited, I saw Dove standing next to a tower of boxes from American Apparel. There are constant reminders of what he lost, and also what he'll have to rebuild. Dove has to figure out how he's going to raise money, hire employees, attract customers, and produce a product that really captures people. He started a clothing business once. He has the blueprint. But this time, he's got a past to overcome. A past that's pretty complicated. The question is, can Dove Charney pull it off again? We'll be back in a minute with scenes from the next episode of Startup. Next week, we visit the headquarters of Dove's new business and talk to people who have left their jobs, homes, and loved ones to work for Dove.
It's been definitely tough, especially on family. My grandma, even though she's like, you know, in her 70s, she's still like really like up and going. And so she went on to Google and of course searched everything that had to do with Dove Charney. And that was like the worst thing that could ever happen.
What it's like to live and work with Dove Charney. That's next time on Startup. Startup is hosted by me, Lisa Chow. Our show is produced by Bruce Wallace, Luke Malone, Molly Messick, and Simone Palanen. Our senior producer is Caitlin Roberts. We were edited by Alex Bloomberg, Peter Clowney, and Alexandra Johns. Fact-checking by Michelle Harris. Special thanks to Mark Smerling, Zach Stewart-Pontier, Marianne McCune, Caitlin Kenny, Shruthi Pinnamaneni, Eric Mennel, and Rachel Strom. Mark Phillips wrote and performed our theme song, the new version of the theme song, by Cubs fan Bobby Lord. Build Buildings wrote and performed our special ad music. Original music by the band HotMoms.gov, which includes the Reverend John Delore, Jordan Scanella, Sam Merrick, Isamu McGregor, and Curtis Brewer. Music direction by Matthew Bowl. David Herman mixed the episode. To subscribe to the podcast, go to iTunes or check out the Gimlet Media website, gimletmedia.com. You can follow us on Twitter @podcaststartup. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.